You might get a few blank stares, but you will get some answers. To some, he's still a baby in a manger. To some, he's just a man. To some, he's a great prophet who somehow knew Buddhist and Confucian thought. To others, he's a guy with great hair. We had this picture hanging above our sofa my entire childhood, and you probably had it in your life too. For others, he's an angry avenger who's going to come back and zap everyone who's been ignoring his dad. A number of people have rendered a version of a modern Christmas carol written in about 1951 entitled Some Children See Him. Frank Sinatra sang it. Andy Williams sang it. James Taylor sang my favorite version of it. Look it up sometime if you haven't, if it's not running through your head yet, if you're not familiar with it, look up Some Children See Him. You'll probably find the James Taylor version, which is very, very sweet. But it goes like this. Some people see him lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some people see him lily white with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, the Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown with dark and heavy hair. Some children see him almond-eyed, this Savior whom we kneel beside. Some children see him almond-eyed with skin of yellow hue. Some children see him dark as day, sweet Mary's son to whom we pray. Some children see him dark as day, and ah, they love him too. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace and filled with holy light. Oh, lay aside each earthly thing, and with thy heart as offering come worship now the infant king. 'Tis love that's born tonight. It's a sweet song, and it's full of truth. In fact, in all that sentimental poetry, I can't argue with a thing. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, and all the big people too. One commentator, referring to the song, it wasn't a commentary that I was reading, and I can't remember who it was that was writing it, so I can't give them attribution, but it's somebody other than me, okay? This person makes a good point. When he writes, when considering the text of Some Children See Him, it is important to remember how few descriptions of the appearance of Jesus we have in scriptures. He's a famous rabbi and a prophet across the land, and soldiers need someone to point out who he is. Remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? They came out and they said, okay, point out which one he is, because we don't know who he is. And it wasn't just because it was dark. They can't trust a description to pick him out of a crowd in the Garden of Gethsemane. During the Transfiguration, Matthew describes that his face shone like the sun. But otherwise, he goes without description. We know who his parents were and the rough complexion of Jews in Roman Palestine, but not much more. The most prominent description of the Messiah comes from the prophet Isaiah, where he says he possessed no splendid form for us to see, no desirable appearance. And that's a whole other sermon. That's a whole other study. So how do we see Jesus? It's not surprising, then, that the physical appearance of Jesus naturally follows what culture we're in. And as long as his essential nature doesn't change, that doesn't matter. That's the beauty of Jesus, since he came for all nations. In fact, he told us that when he went to the cross, he would draw all men to himself. Another good point that I don't want to miss is from the same person I quoted just a little bit ago, that unknown commentator, and that is the childlike faith that we need to receive Jesus as our Savior. He says, some children see him as not a hymn of history and should not be read or sung as one. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. The hymn takes this verse seriously and tries to imagine how children view and understand Jesus. In this way, it doesn't take a leap of imagination to say, some children see him lily white or bronzed and brown or almond eyed or dark as they. One way of accepting God's kingdom as a child is to look with the openness of a child, where difference is not primary, but where baby Jesus is just like our own self. And I end my quote there. But we make it so difficult. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. But we do need to see Jesus Christ as he really is. And that means that he isn't just a nice guy with perfect hair. He is God the Son. Our text, which I read last week, and then again as I began this talk, and I'll read it again next week, gives us a picture of who Jesus is and helps us to see him as he really is. Now, even though I read all 13 verses of who Christ is plainly seen in the first five verses. So we need to see him first as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the very Word of God. Last week, I quoted F.B. Meyer, who made it plain for me. It was the first time I ever saw it this way. He explained the Word, so it helps to hear it again. He says, as speech reveals hidden thoughts of men, so does our Lord utter the unseen God. God spake it, and it was done. His words preceded the act of creation, but Christ was the Word or utterance of God. He who created time preceded time, and that which is before time is eternal and divine. Christ is the organ or medium by which God goes forth in creation, providence, and redemption. The life of God was stored in the human nature of Jesus, and when the Word became flesh, that it might more readily pass into us. In other words, Jesus is the explainer of God's plan and the example of how life is to be lived. Jesus puts it all into words. Romans 1:20 says that just looking at creation makes humanity without excuse when it comes to recognizing God's perfect nature. But truthfully, just seeing Jesus for who he is makes us all without excuse. When we see him, then, we see that he's God. He's God, and the Word was God, John 1:1 says. When we see Jesus as he really is, we must see it. It's necessary for us to see that he's God. No matter how humanity has tried to drain him of deity, Jesus is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses cult, it's a cult, tried to demote Jesus, demote Christ by simply and falsely mistranslating John 1:1 intentionally, because they didn't do it anywhere else in the Bible the way they did it with John 1:1. Their heretical version reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." They just intentionally mistranslated it. They simply added an indefinite article, the word a, to make it indefinite who was that God. The small g. Small g. No large g. And the sad thing is, if they do not see Jesus for who he really is in this life, They will definitely find out too late who he really is eventually. Because he's God. He's God, not a God. He is God. We also see there in John 1 that he's eternal. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. If Jesus is, as Christ is, he's eternal. He's God the Son. From the very beginning, when the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, some translations over the face of the deep, God in his Trinitarian form was evident right there. And it's more so when he refers to himself in the plural, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So if you ever thought that Jesus was an afterthought or God's secret weapon who he suddenly dreamed up at Christmas, think again, because he's always been there. Jesus Christ has always been God. And speaking of being there in the beginning, He's creator. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Once again, there isn't much that I can add to this. I mean, really, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. He created everything. Everything. Charles Wesley might have written the children's hymn, "Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild," and Jesus can be that, but he's also creator of heaven and earth. And as creator, he's not only the author of life, he is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Real life. Abundant life. Life worth living now, and eternal life forever. At Christmas, it's good to remember an Easter song that goes like this: "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone." That's a good thing to remember these days, when everybody seems so fearful. "Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." Why? Because he lives, we live and have life. And then finally, as that last verse hinted, and as we learned last week, to know Christ for who he really is, we know that he's light. He's light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's why I love Christmas Eve service. We have the candles. We turn out the lights, and it's illumined around the room. And the way people hold their candle, it lights up their face. And you see the light of Christ in their face. The world may be dark, but Jesus came to illumine it, and he makes his people into light as well. Last week, Jason and Lydia led us in the words, "Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see." Seeing Christ for who he really is means seeing, actually seeing. It means we need to look too, okay? Our way, when we have Jesus as the light of our life and the light of life, our way is brilliant before us. And remember, we need to be that light too. We said that last week. Let me remind you again. I can't help but think that those missionaries, those Mennonite missionaries, those 17 people, it was 15 in the end, I guess, that were released finally. Yes, it might have been traumatic, but I know that the fact that they are light helped them to be released. It doesn't always happen that way, but they knew where they were going. Well, I need to wrap this up. Jesus is so much more than our finite minds can conjure up. But looking at him through childlike eyes is a really good thing. It's ironic, but it's true. And we need to take him to the world. Perhaps you were wondering when I was going to refer to the saint for this morning. There's a description of the Saint Ignatius on your insert. And all of the saints so far have been on the day before the saint that we're looking at. And I think next week the date for St. Wenceslaus next week? I think it hits on that day, I think. That's beside the point. St. Ignatius, we want to look at him. He celebrated tomorrow on December 20th. And read the insert if you haven't already, because it's inspiring. In fact, I felt it was the most inspiring of all of them so far. His nickname was Theophorus, God bearer, because of his fervent love for God and for the church. In other words, to see Saint Ignatius is to see Jesus. In this day, when we face false religions and false depictions of who Jesus is, we're experiencing nothing new, because Ignatius had the same struggle. As he became bishop or became pastor in the church of Antioch in 68 AD, okay? Just 35 years after Jesus returned to the Heavenly Father, probably somewhere in there. So there was some overlap. Ignatius may have seen and may have known St. Paul or St. Peter, because there was overlap there. And he dealt with, remember when we were preaching through epistles, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and they were dealing with Gnosticism, that religion that said you had to have special knowledge, that you could do whatever you want in the flesh as long as everything was okay up here, that kind of stuff. It was coming in already, and he was dealing with that, and he remained faithful. Through it all, he was a God-bearer to the end, and even though he went to the arena and died in the arena as a martyr, he was a light to a dark world. And we need to be so too. You see, when I tell you to go and be Jesus, I'm not just saying something something trite or cute. I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean it when I say go and be Jesus. In truth, what I'm giving you is a tall order, because you may be the only Jesus that people see. They may even have a wrong impression about Jesus from what they see in other Christians, okay? And we don't gloat and we don't look down our nose. We just make sure that we are Jesus consistently. It's important that you know who Jesus really is so that you can be Jesus to a world who desperately needs him. Show them Christ for who he really is. So ABC, go and be Jesus. Go and be Jesus. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.